Well, greetings, everyone, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting program of the gospel of God's matchless grace. And friends, I'm so happy today that I can open this book which I hold in my hand, and I can tell you as best I can, with God's help, the wonderful story of redeeming love. I can tell you that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of matchless, marvelous grace. Yes, I can tell you all this because I know it to be true from personal experience. Friends, back on June the 2nd of 1952, after being convicted of my sinful and degraded condition in God's sight, I accepted His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my own and personal Savior. Yes, on that day I was born again. I was saved. I was made a new creature in and through Christ Jesus. And friends, as I stand before the microphone today with the Word of God in my hands, I'm one of the happiest men in all the world because I have something that money can't buy. I have communion and fellowship with the Holy God and Creator. In addition, I have eternal life through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I read over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tell me, radio friend, are you happy today? Now let's be honest. Are you really happy today? Is there any real joy and real satisfaction in your heart and soul? Do you have peace with God? Well, if not, the Bible tells us back there in Job 22 and verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And Paul tells us in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And since peace is a result of faith, I can tell you in the words of Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So please, sinner friend, if you want peace with God, give heed to God's word and trust in God's Son as your own and personal Savior. Now let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it's entitled, His Love is Wonderful.
Wonderful to me.
Well, friends, Friends, I for one can sure thank God today for his unspeakable gift. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was the expression of God's love for mankind. In that most memorable of all verses, John 3 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, have you often wondered how you would define the word love? Well, friend, we may all have different versions of what we would like to think love is, but I believe the Bible gives the best definition of what love is in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's what we read. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." Yes, we love God today because he first loved us. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee, our God, for the love and the mercy and the grace expressed in him in coming forth from thy presence in heaven down to this sin-cursed earth and going all the way to Calvary's cross. We thank thee, our God, for all the value and virtue found in that death and the precious blood that flowed for sin. We thank thee, too, our God, for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. We claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now before getting into the message today, we'll listen to another lovely hymn known to many of you tuned in our way today, and it's entitled, "Man of Sorrows." Today, I'm going to use as my text a portion of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and I'll begin reading at verse 2. "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, today I want to talk to you about a term which is quite often used and yet seldom understood. And that word is converted or conversion. What do we mean by conversion? Conversion, as used scripturally, simply means turning to God. Paul makes that quite clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Tell me, my friend, have you ever been converted? You know, the Lord tells us here in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 18, "Except ye be converted, then you'll never see the kingdom of God." Peter tells us over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Friend, listen, you can't get into heaven with even one sin. No, my friend, those sins must be blotted out. And they can only be put away eternally by faith in the finished work of Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, we have our own ideas about things. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that's the problem with people today. They don't understand that they've got to be converted. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, here's what we read. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way." We have our own ideas about things. One person says, "I believe you can get to heaven by doing this." Another says, "I believe you can get to heaven by doing that." Friend, listen, it doesn't make any difference what you and I think or what we say. It's what does the Word of God say? In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Again, in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 11, here's what God says. "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" Friend, the bottom line is simply this. You'll either turn or you'll burn. Yes, you'll either be converted, experience true conversion, scriptural conversion, or else you'll wail and weep down in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. There's got to be a turning around, 180 degrees. Paul tells us over there in Acts chapter 26, where he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. In verse 18, here's what he says. He says, "I've been sent forth to the Gentiles." What for? "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Isn't that clear? Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Friend, he's the same man that tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, I believe there are some listening in today, and you've been blinded by the enemy of your soul, the devil. You need to be converted. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "Ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Yes, only the truly converted can praise the Lord today. Yes, we can thank God for sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this sin-cursed earth to go all the way to Calvary and there shed that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. And friend, I'll tell you something else. If you have been converted, I say if you've truly been converted, you don't do what once you did. You don't go where once you went. You don't say what once you said. No, my friend, I read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You out in Radio Land today who profess to be Christians, has there been that great change in your life? Has there, my friend? Do you love to read the Word of God and to pray and to witness and testify to the unsaved regarding what God has done for you? Do you really love the Lord, my friend? Are you an out-and-out Christian? Ah, my friend, listen. Salvation is not a license to sin. I've known some Christians down through the years who, after they were professedly converted, were doing terrible things, things they wouldn't have thought of doing before they professed to be saved. Friend, there's something wrong with that kind of salvation. You should be a new creature in Christ. And remember this, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, what conversion is not? Do you know, my friend, what conversion isn't? It's one thing to know what conversion is, but a lot of people have the wrong idea about it. What conversion is not? It is not reformation. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not obeying some religious ritual or resolutions. It's not some so-called righteous living. It's not reading the Bible and saying your prayers, no, my friend, or trying to keep the golden rule and the Ten Commandments. You know, when I meet people from day to day who profess to be converted, and I ask them how they were converted, many of them have said, well, I was baptized. Ah, listen, my friend, listen. There are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. There isn't one verse in the Word of God that says you can get to heaven by being baptized. Why, look at it logically, apart from scripturally. If you and I could get to heaven by being baptized, then tell me, friend, why did Jesus Christ come from heaven? Why did He live a sinless life on earth? Why did He go all the way to Calvary's cross and suffer there, the just for the unjust? Why did He do all that if you and I could get to heaven or be converted by being baptized? No, my friend. And it's not going to the altar either. Some of you may be listening in today, and you profess to be converted because you went forward to the altar. Friend, there isn't one verse in the Bible that says you can be converted by going to the altar. No, my friend. Again, I remind you, there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they got to the altar, but they didn't get to Jesus Christ. Friend, have you been saved? Have you been just like a little child? Exercise simple childlike faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Don't have faith in what you've done, my friend. For all our righteousnesses and religious living in the sight of a holy God is as a filthy rag, as we're told in Isaiah 64 and 6. Now then, who should be converted? Who should be converted? Well, in Romans 3, 22 and 23, we read, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, in Romans 11 and 32, God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? So that He might have mercy upon all. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, in 2 Timothy 2 and 4, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who should be converted? All. A-L-L. The rich, the poor, the old and the young, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew, the Muslim, yes, the Irish, the Scotch, and the Pole. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved or be converted to Christ. Now, when should sinners be converted? Well, in Job 22 and verse 21, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Acquaint now, not tomorrow. Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. In Acts 17 and verse 30, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, it's now, not tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, listen, you may never have another opportunity to be converted. So why not have simple childlike faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary's cross? That most memorable of all verses, John 3:16. Listen to it. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, would you like to have everlasting life beginning today? Well, you can have it. You can have it with the full assurance of this Bible, the book that I hold in my hand, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, look away to Calvary. There see the Lord Jesus Christ dying for you and shedding that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. Friend, I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence today at the close of another radio broadcast to thank thee for extending the day of grace so that others might hear the gospel of thy grace found in thy Son alone. We pray, our God, that even now thy Holy Spirit may be working in the hearts and souls of those who are listening in still unsaved. Pluck them as brands from the burning. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Seeking the lost and kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come unto me. Repeating words of the Master speaking today,
going upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again
into the fold
of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb
for sinners slain. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore.
Upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer
friends, you've heard the gospel today, and you're more responsible for your soul now insofar as God is concerned than you've ever been in the past. This might be the first time you've ever heard the gospel. Then again, my friend, it may be the very last. I don't know whether you realize it or not, my friend, but there are 90 people die every minute, 5,400 every hour, 130,000 every day, and over 47 million every year pass out of time into eternity. And my friend, it's only the grace of God that you're not counted amongst those solemn statistics. So friend, I plead with you today, as this program comes to a close, to consider your latter end. Ask yourself these questions in the fear and presence of God today. Where would my soul be if I died today? If my heart stopped beating right now, where would my soul be for all eternity? Friend, these are most solemn questions, are they not? Yes, and in Isaiah 33 and verse 14, we read two more very solemn questions. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burning? I trust there's no one within the sound of my voice today who's going to spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And again, I want to announce that if you would like to have a cassette tape of this message that you heard today, along with another half-hour radio gospel message, I'll send it to you absolutely free and postpaid by return mail. These tapes can be played over and over again in any cassette player and can be used by God's Holy Spirit to bring both conviction and conversion to those who hear the true gospel of God's grace. So, friend, if you'd like to have a tape of today's message, along with another on the reverse side, I'll be glad to send it to you if you just send me your name and address. Just write to The Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again is Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.